thought. I have not preached on this ever before. I've not studied on this ever before. If I was to give an analogy of it, it's like I'm working on a car and I just put the first coat of primer on. So I'm going to study it out some more and polish it a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and give you what God's got for me right now. Might be 5 minutes, it might be 6 minutes, it might be 3 minutes. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 8, I'm going to be preaching on quite an unusual subject here. Verse 1 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Acts chapter 11 tells you everywhere they went. In Acts chapter number 11, verse number 19, it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." I'm going to preach for just a few brief moments on this, the power of persecution. Father, I ask you, Lord, you touch this precious text, Lord God. Help me, Lord, say everything right, Lord God. Help, Lord, no opinions or anything, but just God's word, Lord God. Help us, Lord, tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I read my Bible, and I'm telling you, you see this throughout churches that are right, and you see the falsehood that's brought out in churches that are wrong. Everybody always promises in all these prosperity churches, God wants you rich, God wants you healthy, God wants you well, God wants you to have $1 million, wants you to have a mansion on the hillside, wants you to have 6 cars and everything like that. I read my Bible and I see something much different. I read my Bible and I see the first ones who called themselves Christians, they were persecuted sorely. I read my Bible. I read about the apostles. Every one of them outside of John died a martyr's death. John was boiled in oil and left as an exile on Crete. He was left as an exile. And friend, I want to tell you, I look at my Bible and I see that the Christians who were Christians were persecuted. These cities right here, Phoenicia is about 200 miles northwest of Jerusalem. You want an example? It's like going from here to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, as the crow flies. And if you don't know what that term means, you got cheated out on your education. Hallelujah. You got Cyprus right here. It's about 300 miles west-southwest, like you're going to Southport, Florida, almost in the ocean. Antioch was 300 miles north-northeast, which is like Sandy Valley, Tennessee, right up in the corner. That's how far they went. And here's the thing they didn't do. They did not quit. They went that far preaching. They didn't run that far away so that they could get a better life or get up out of this persecution. They went that far preaching. And God had to take a man by the name of Saul to come in here and kick these things around to get them to do what they were supposed to do. Friend, I'm telling you right now, the devil would have loved nothing more than to Saul to snuff out the church right then. But anybody who's ever been camping, anybody's ever lived in the country, you know, if there's coals on that fire, you don't kick it. You kick them coals, they're going that way. You kick it that way, it's going that way. And that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to stomp out the church, and every kick he sent preachers that way. Another kick went preachers that way. Another kick went preachers that way. And they went all these different ways preaching the word of God. God used persecution to get his will done. Friend, I'm telling you right now, it is not always God's will for you to be perfect health, piles of cash, and no problems and everything like that. Sometimes God's will right might be in the middle of a hurricane storm. It might be in the middle of suffering. It might be in the middle of shame. It might be in the middle of rejection by your friends and family. It might be there where God's will is found. Friend, I'll tell you right now, I would love nothing more than to get up here and tell you, you know what, this is a Christian life. As soon as you get saved, there's going to be checks falling from heaven. There's going to be cash just coming out of your pockets every side there is. There's going to be great health. You're never going to have kidney stones. Hallelujah. You're never going to have any back problems. You ain't going to have any of that, because you know what? We're just going to lay my hands on you and you're going to be healed. Friend, it's not like that. Friend, God may use persecution to get his church to do what he had called them to do. Acts chapter 1, you'll see what God said for them to do. Acts chapter 1, hallelujah, just real quick, it's the only place you're going to turn. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, they were talking to Jesus. He's about to go back to heaven. And they said, they're talking about getting a kingdom and everything together. Chapters 1, verse 7, Jesus says this, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. He didn't say ye shall be prosperity this and prosperity this. You're going to have all these things. You're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They had Jerusalem pretty down pat. As a matter of fact, after Saul came around, the only thing you found around Jerusalem was persecution. It's where James was killed. It's where Peter was thrown in prison. It's where Paul kept on wanting to go back to, and he got arrested and sent off to Rome and got beheaded. Friend, I'm telling you, after that, that's what it turned into, was persecution at Jerusalem. But friend, I'm telling you, God may not take your situation and make it all pretty and get roses growing everywhere like that. It may make you uncomfortable being in God's will. I'm telling you, I don't ever want to hear any kind of person ever say this. You know what? God's will is going to be perfect peace. Because, friend, I'm telling you right now, if you were to preach that back in those days right now, you'd been mocked to scorn. And, friend, I'm telling you, God's will may put you in a place where you're in a dark place, where you're in a prison. You might be out in persecution. You may be shipwrecked as Paul was. You may have all these things coming to you in God's will. It is God's will. We do what God's word says. And if that puts you in a place where, you know what, it doesn't make the flesh happy, you might be closer to the center of God's will than you ever was. God may take your comfort away if you don't get out of your comfort zone and get in his will. Friend, I'm telling you something. We've got to be in God's will above everything else. If it is God's will, then nothing else matters. That is what matters. I'm telling you something, friend. If God's will is for you to do X, Y, Z, doing A, B, C ain't going to cut it. Hallelujah. So we've got this power of persecution here. In Acts chapter number 1, we have another apostle chosen. We see they're starting the work. And, of course, Judas' place had to be filled, as the prophecy had said. I told you to study that. Hallelujah. Judas' place had to be filled. And they filled Matthias. They put Matthias in there. They actually cast lots for it. Hallelujah. That'll be a fun sermon to preach right there. Acts chapter number 2. The day of Pentecost fully comes, and those cloven tongues of fire fall on them, and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 3,000 get saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If 3 get saved here, I'm about ready to tear a hole in the wall. I'm telling you, we had 3,000 get saved in here. Y'all have to commit me somewhere for a few months. I ain't going to be able to handle myself. But then Acts 3 and 4, 5,000 get saved. That's a whole year. I'm just going to take a whole year off 5,000 people get saved. Acts 5, we see in verse number 14, it says multitudes. They don't even give a number. Multitudes were added. I mean, tell you what, power of God, the center of the will of God, and everything is happening. And a daily in the temple in every house, we close out Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 6, we got a fellowship dinner, and we got people getting mad. They had enough time to go ahead and start getting dinner and food and everything ready. And the next thing you know, oh, she got the good mashed potatoes. Man, I was so far back in line, mine was cold when I got it. So you know what God did? Said, okay, you're going to sit around and you're going to do this when I've told you to go do that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send somebody in here to start kicking some things around. And friend, I'm telling you, the next chapter, yes, Stephen martyred, preaching the word of God and literally having Jesus Christ receive him. I'm telling you, it took persecution to get the church back to what it was doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It took persecution. And friend, I just want to make this quick application. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to look out there 5 seconds and know, you know what? This ain't the America we grew up in. I'm telling you something, this ain't the America I grew up in. I still could ride my bike up and down the road when I was a kid. Theirs ain't going out of the house unless I'm here with this on my side. I'm telling you something, friend. It's a dark day. And here we are. We're starting to look at things coming our way, which may put us in a hard situation. We ain't had persecution in the churches like we might be about to see. But what if God, I'm not saying anything, I'm no prophet or anything like this, but what if God is allowing this to happen now so that we will get back to going and telling somebody else? I'm telling you something, friend, we had some good years in 2016, hallelujah. Go ahead and say amen, it's all right. 2016, 2020, we had some good years and everything. God really blessed some things. We had money to do all kinds of other things. We had money to send people around the world. And we sat around. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying for the majority, we sat around and piled up money. And instead of taking this liberty that God gave us back then, we just sat around and didn't send anything. I'm not preaching at anyone right here. I'm preaching at myself also. What if God is bringing a hard time on this nation? I'm telling you, I don't know why I'm saying this, and this is why I've been preaching and studying this. What if God is bringing a hard time on this nation to get us back on our knees? What if God is bringing a hard time on our nation to get us back to telling others about Jesus? What if instead of our checking account, we had to turn to Christ to get that next meal on the table? What if, I'm telling you something, friend, I don't like what I'm saying, because you know what, it makes me nervous. But what if that's what God's doing? Let's just be frank and honest, and I'm going to be done right here. What if the prosperity we've had as a nation is leading to the downfall of the church? I haven't heard anybody else really preach that much. What if the prosperity we have as a nation is leading to the downfall of our church? Because we have the ability. And friend, I'm telling you, that church in Laodicea, you are rich. I am rich. I have all these things, and know not that you're poor, wretched, miserable. Friend, I want to tell you this right here. This all-night prayer has done one thing for me. It showed me my need to get back in touch and back on my knees and talking to God. What we ought to do is we ought to learn to trust him more. We ought to learn to go to him more. We ought to learn to just draw next to him more. Hallelujah. That's all I got.
I love how he does stuff like that. And this is going to be just a continuance of what we just now heard. Dad, would you pray for us? Please, sir. Amen. We'll start out just, we'll be in Psalms 36. We'll start out just talking about, you know, the world as we see it today. Troy, just to give you a great overview of that, and I believe with all my heart, that's exactly what God's trying to do. God's trying to get our heart and affections back to him, that we'll go out to this lost and dying world and be the witness that we're supposed to be in these last days. And we are living in the last days. So I'm going to give you just a quick picture of what we see in the Word of God, as a picture of the world today and a picture of God's people, just to remind us of who God is, and he's on our side, and what he'll do for us, how he'll always be there for us, how he'll always help us, and he'll always provide the things that we need to go out and do the job he has for us to do. But in Psalms 36, we'll start reading here. In verse number 1, it says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart," this is David speaking here, "that there is no fear of God before his eyes." This is what David's seeing back here. Now, what do we see today? We see these things regular, each and every day. Nobody has a care for what God thinks. Nobody has a care for what the Word of God says. They don't care what the good man of God gets up and preaches the Word. They don't care about those things anymore. They don't care about what they should be doing to honor God. They don't care about any of those things. All they care about is their belly. "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found hateful." He flattered. This is what we're seeing today. We look at things that go on today, and sometimes we wonder, how in the world everybody else can't see it? I'm not no smart man at all. And you look at all these higher educated people up there in Washington, how in the world they ever see and cannot see what goes on in this world? When I can look out, Tyler, and see what goes on and say, how ignorant can you be not to see this? I see that. And I'm just nobody. I'm a nobody that ain't got good sense to do anything, but I can see it. And so I said, people just don't realize what's going on today in which we live. But he says, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. That's where we are today. We've just left off to do that. I can't tell you the exact point where it happened, but somewhere along the line it just went, right. You rarely see anything on the news that's good. You rarely hear anything that comes out of Washington that's good. You rarely hear anything that happens anywhere besides in the house of God that's good. And that's a crying shame. That's the crying shame to what it was back, like Troy was saying a while ago, when I was a kid. You always heard there was somebody that was doing good. Now there's nobody that's outside God's people that's doing good. This world just don't care anymore. The world doesn't see things the way they did 50 years ago. The world don't look at things like we did when we were children. Man, we grew up, we didn't look at all the craziness. You hear kids talking about crisis in the world. You hear kids talking about the crazy things that are going on in the world. When I was a kid, Paul, I didn't think about those things. We was too busy going out, going to ride bicycles, go do whatever we could go do. It's whatever. We're going to go have a good time. I didn't know what was going on back then, because things like went on today didn't go on back then. But he says here in verse number 4, he devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good, and he abhorreth not evil. He don't care. What goes on nowadays is evil and stuff. Folks don't care. Matter of fact, they encourage it nowadays. Now, matter of fact, you'll hear more encouragement about those things than you will someone trying to stop it. You'll hear more people trying to encourage what goes wrong and the bad things that go on out there than they do standing up against those things. Anything that goes that the Word of God stands for, nowadays, they're really going to get out there and they're really going to say, you ain't got to listen to this. You just do what you want to. You do what makes you feel good. You do what makes you happy. You are your own person. You do whatever you like to do. That's what they're being told today. That's what they're programming them to do today. That's what they're programming them now to do, so them little ones coming up now, if we don't train them right, the world's going to train them, and that's all they're going to know is wrong. That's all they're ever going to know is wrong. I'm telling you, it's like Troy said, them coals are being kicked. What are we going to do? But I got good news for us. I got good news for us. I'm going to tell you, I want you to hear what our God does. It says, verse number 5 says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Verse number 6, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Listen to this, verse number 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied, listen to this, with the fatness of thy house. Right here in the house of God, you're going to be abundantly satisfied with the fatness that you get here. We're going to be abundantly satisfied coming serving God. I'm telling you, you'll get stuff in here you won't get nowhere else in this world. You won't find it anywhere else. I've been all over the place and done all kinds of things that I am not proud of, and I've never found nothing like what I get in the house of God. Never felt a feeling in my life like I feel when the Spirit of God is moving, especially when He's moving on me. I've never felt that nowhere in my life like that. And I'm telling you, you won't get it nowhere else but when you come serving God, and you'll get it in the house of God, because I'm telling you right now, He'll pour out the fatness in His house, is what He said. He'll so pour out the fatness in thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. Listen to this. In thy light shall we see light. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness unto the upright in heart. Listen to this. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Listen to this right here in verse number 12. We're going to be done. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to arise. I'm telling you, God's going to step in here soon. He's going to call His church out of here soon. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of folks standing on the sideline wondering, saying, what in the world just happened? You mean to tell me them crazy folks down there were right? You mean to tell me all that stuff they've been doing is right? You mean to tell me when they come up here to Conyers and they've been preaching all these years they were right? You mean to tell me I was wrong? You mean to tell me I missed the boat? You mean to tell me I got left behind? You mean to tell me this was real the whole time? There's going to be a lot that's going to say that. There's going to be a lot that day that's going to say that. And it's going to be a crying shame. Because we come and we brought the door of heaven to them. We brought that there to them. We offered it to them. Not that we could do anything, but we have been commissioned to go out and, hey, by him, to go out and offer it to them. Let them know that Jesus is there. Jesus wants to save them, and he will save them. All they have to do is call out and believe. Amen. And there's going to be so many that's going to remember that. They're going to remember that, Brother Darrell. They're going to say, man, I remember that time. I remember that time them crazy people come up here and preached. I remember that time. And then we didn't turn. He said, well, if what they said was true, that means we've missed the boat. Yep. They won't forget about what they heard then, will they? No. They won't forget about that day then. I'm telling you, what we're doing is right. We need to keep on keeping on just what we're doing. Amen. Keep moving forward for God. Don't let the things of this world hold us back. Don't let the things we see on TV hold us back. Don't let the things you see come out of Washington hold us back. Don't worry about what goes on this election hold you back. You just keep moving on for God and understand, just like Troy said, the coals are being kicked and God wants us to go out and be that. Hey, be that part of that consuming fire that he puts out. Be part of that when we go out and let them know that God loves them and God wants to save them. He loved them so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for all the sins of the world. He was resurrected the third day and now he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. He's ready to make intercession for them if they'll call out on him. That's all I got.
Protect those precious things that are in here.
That's right.
Those things that God's given us, things that God's set up in here, King's treasure house. Man, I look out. We look out. We can look up here and see all the treasures that God has given us. Man, I'm talking about a good church family and all that stuff. Man, I believe God called me to preach, and I just don't believe God called me just to preach behind this pulpit. I believe God's called me to go out into this world, man. No matter where I'm at, I don't care. I'm telling you, God's been bringing them my way. Yeah, and we're going to see some rough people walking these doors, man. And we're just going to have to love them up, man. Love them anyways, because I know without the grace of God, I know where we'd be. I know how rough around the edges I was when God got a hold of me and where I was at when God... Rough, boy, rough around the edges, I'm telling you. And God had to work some things out of my life. He had to work some words out of my mouth. He had to work some behaviors out of my mind and in my heart. And that's what we had to get them, man. We're going to have to get them like that. And then just have to get them in here, man. They might come in smelling a little funny. They might come in looking a little funny, but we just got to tell them to come on in and keep coming back. Hey, man, they might come in looking crazy, but you just keep telling them, keep on coming now. They might not know how to act when they walk in this church, but you just keep telling them, come on, keep coming. Just keep getting them in here. It don't matter. Hey, man, and my preacher's hard, man, but he's going to tell you the truth, man. Hey, I know in Galatians he says, are you mad at me because I'm telling you the truth? He's going to tell you the truth, man. And I'm telling you, that's what I like. That's what I tell them all. I say, hey, don't just come on. Come on. Hey, just keep on getting them in. I don't care how rough they are. Some of them come in, hey, man, I might have a little something. Come on in. Come on. Keep coming. Come on. That's what I tell them. Come on. I don't care about that. We don't care about that here. We're going to be in Galatians. Galatians chapter number 2. I'll be starting reading in verse 16, man. Man, can y'all think? I mean, if this was written to anybody, this Galatians, I can tell you, it's written to the Jehovah Witnesses, because I'm telling you, it's talking about. Hey, what do we got? Our works or our faith? What is it? Hey, I'm telling you, faith without works is dead. But hey, man, you aren't saved by works. I can tell you that right now. And then if it was written to anybody, it was written to them Jehovah Witnesses. If they want to come to your house and knock on your door, just open up Galatians and start reading. If you don't know what to say, just open Galatians and say, can I just read Galatians to you and show you a little something? That's all you got to say. If you don't know nothing, you don't know much, I don't care. Galatians, open it up and start reading. That'll turn them away real quick. They must be taken out of their Bible, because every bit of it pours off of the page on you, telling you about you were not saved by works but by faith. Every bit of it. That in Hebrews. Just open up Galatians and start reading them. It's a short book. Yeah, they got a little bit of time. It's Galatians 6, 1 to 6. You can read it to them. Just tell them. And then just ask them. Yeah, slam the door. Don't ask them to elaborate on it. Man, can we think about Paul for a minute? Man, think about Paul, man. Think about what Paul went through, what he went through and everything he wrote down. Man, this whole New Testament is mapped out for each and every one of us. We got something we can go to at all times and read it. Paul was pinning it down as he went. God was giving it to Paul as he went. Can you think about how much persecution he... Well, Paul, I don't think you should write that. Paul, don't write that. Don't put that away. Don't, man, I just seen what you wrote. Don't write that down. Man, but they're trying to change the Bible that's already been written. Imagine what they was doing to Paul back in the day. Man, Paul couldn't go pick this up and say, well, Galatians says... Paul's over there writing it down for them. Paul's over there pinning everything down, letting them know what it's going to be, what it is, and how Jesus died on the cross and how he came, and we're saved by faith and not by works, and we're saved forever once you get saved, and you're saved, you cannot be plucked out of his hand. I mean, Paul's over there putting it down for them, and us, we got everything he mapped out for us. He mapped the whole, almost the whole New Testament out for us. Mapped it out for us. You got something you can go by. Right here, right now. Amen. Yeah, we won't do it. Come on. We won't do it. But look at Paul. Look what he went through. Paul says, my righteousness is filthy rags. Man, if Paul's righteousness was filthy rags, imagine what my righteousness is, man. I don't do a third, a quarter, a bit of what Paul has done. Man, I believe that standing up here preaching, y'all, I don't do my best when I'm preaching up here on this. I do my best when I'm one-on-one with somebody and or I'm on the phone with somebody and God's giving it to me and pouring out on me and I'm telling you scripture will come to mind and things like that. I'm an individual witness. I do the best when I'm talking to people about Jesus that I just met or I've known for a long time and I can tell them what God's done for me, where he's brought me from. I do the best whenever that's my best time. My best times is not preaching up here behind this pulpit. It's just not. Man, I like people that are so rough around the edges that I can see me in them, where I was before. Amen. I can see everything that I ever done right there. I say, it don't matter. It don't matter, man. And I got to tell this guy the other day, man, I told him, that's why Brother Tracy tells us, hey, you can do everything you can for your kids, man. You can get them into the best colleges, buy them the best clothes, let them look real nice, send them to a nice school. Man, you can buy them houses, you can leave them inheritance. I mean, you can do all that, but if you don't get them into heaven, you failed them. Man, you have failed as a parent. And that always sticks with me, and I've always used that. When people have kids, I say, hey, man, you got kids? Yeah, man. So we get to talking, and I like to put that in there. That is one of the best things you can say to somebody. Man, what you going to do when life's over? Right. What you going to do when it's going? You going to one or two places, heaven or hell. Where are you going to go? This ain't going nothing like I thought it was either. I bet. But I'll tell you this. Man, I'm telling you, I just want to thank God for what he's done for me and my family, man. He's poured out blessings in the last 5.5 years. Yeah, 30 years worth of blessings that I probably could have got if I'd have just turned to him back when I was supposed to. But I know God had a plan and a purpose for my life to use me for such a time as this, because I know that world's so dark right there that I've walked through it. And I've walked in something so deep and so thick that, man, you can cut it out with a knife. You know, something so nasty and vile, man, that you see. And behind the walls of prison and behind those walls, man, some nasty, vile, yuck-minded, sick individuals. And darkness, you see them in their eyes, man. But I know that God sent me in there because I ain't scared of that kind of stuff. That stuff does not fear me. I do not fear none of that stuff. There's not. He says, what is it to fear man but to fear God that can take your soul and send it to hell? Amen. I do not fear that anymore. God took that fear away from me, man. I had to go through some things, and I thank God that I did, because now I'm able to, man, just walk and be fearless. I'm telling you those things that I see. And I can see things that other people can't see. And I think God did that for a reason. And I thank God he did. Now I can use it for the good. Man, I first of all, I wanted to go over there and get into it. Now I don't want to get into it. Now I want to get them into this. Amen. Yeah, I want everybody to have what I have, what we have here. I want the truth, man. I don't want it watered down. I want it poured on me. I want every bit of it. I want it thick as it comes. Because I need it, man, because I'm not, sometimes I can be a mean person. Sometimes I can be stubborn. Sometimes I can be, ask my wife, she'll tell you, sometimes I'm just stubborn. Come on. Sometimes I'm just mean. Hey, I'm telling you. So I need every bit of it, man. Come in here and scream at me all you want. I need it. I need it. I am stubborn sometimes. I'm going to start reading this before I keep going off somewhere else, man. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law.
Right.
Wow. There you go. There's your one for him. Knowing not that you are justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. There you go. Shuts the whole thing down right there. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You are not saved by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. This, and you can't work your way to heaven. You can't, and once you're saved, you can't work your way out of heaven. So there you go with that. It says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is there Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. It said, for if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. It says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live is in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You was a sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace. You were under the law. You was a sinner. You was a slave to sin. And Christ freed you from that. Now you serve Christ because you were a slave. And now you're free. You're set free. Now we are not to take this as a looseness. We don't live loosely. We don't live, oh, God's got grace. I'm saved by grace. So God's grace, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. I'm not going to say I can walk any which way I can and live any way I want to because Christ died for me and I'm saved and I'm sealed. It's not how you do it. And not frustrate the grace of God. You are to live. You're not your own anymore because he bought you with a price, with his blood. So you're not saved. And there's nothing you could have done by any works, by any means, but by faith. So now that you're dead to your old life, that old me, the old Jonathan, is not here anymore. He's far gone. I forgot those things which are behind me. And I'm pressing to those marking God, high calling Christ Jesus. And I'm forgetting who the old person was. And I'm stepping slowly and closer into the new me, into the new person that Christ has made me and is making me. And still is making all of us. Can we say that we mess up sometimes? Can everybody say that they mess up sometimes? Hey, can everybody say we need forgiveness sometimes?
Amen.
Hey, what would you be without forgiveness?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we'll be real quick to say, I don't forgive that person. Well, man, what if Christ said that to you? You better start forgiving people. Man, because we've not yet arrived. We're still becoming the person that Christ wants us to be. And we won't until we arrive completely be that person. Because we're dead to the old life and we're going from sanctification, slowly moving to that new man. Slowly becoming what Christ wants us to be because what he died on the cross for us. You're not your own anymore, but you're Christ. So to live for Christ. Because he died for those sins. Our sins put him on the cross. If we were without sin, he wouldn't have had to get on that cross. We were talking about this morning. Brantley said, well, I didn't ask him to. I said, did you ask him into your heart? She said, I did. I said, so you asked him to get on that cross for you. I said, he wouldn't have had to had we not sinned at all. Had we not failed ever in the garden. I said, she goes, well, I wouldn't have took that fruit. I said, you probably would have ate three of them. I probably would have ate three. Well, give me get all that fruit off that tree right there. This stuff tastes good. Come on now. But Christ forgave us, man. He died on that cross for our sins, man. So now we don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for him. He bought us for a price. You're not living in the sin anymore. You're not a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High God. Who are you? I'm the son of the Most High God. Christ Jesus died on the cross for me. I know my identity now. I know who I am. I know what I have. I know that inheritance I have that's in heaven. I know the things that God has for me in the end. I know I got heaven to hope for. I got a hell to shun. I know what I got to do. Do I do it all the time? No. But we're not saved by works. But it is a good thing to work for God. It is a good thing to labor for the Lord. It is a good thing to go out and tell people about Jesus. You're not yourself anymore. You're Christ. You're Christ, and he forgave you, and he took you from that old life, and now you've not yet arrived. So will we mess up along the way? Yeah, we will. Will we forgive along the way? We need to. Hey, me, that's a hard time. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, forgive people. I know it is. I know it's hard to let it go. You know, you feel like they're getting one over on you when you forgive them. You're not. You're just releasing what they've done from you. You're holding on. Don't hold on to things that people have done. Don't hold on to things that people, you know, unforgiveness and things in your heart. And that stuff will build up, man. It'll roll over to your relationships. It'll roll over to your friendships. It'll roll over to your church. Man, y'all don't think what we do outside of these walls affect this church right here? Man, you can bring a reproach on this church so quick, man. You are Christ's. You are bought for a price. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're a child of the Most High God, made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. Man, one who's watching over you, who's got his hands upon you, putting that hedge of protection around you, taking you through trials and tribulations that only he can get you through. There's things you'll go through that only God can get you through. There's things that we might face in our life that if we didn't have God, man, we just let it all go. There's people out there in that world who let it go every day because they didn't know the Father. They didn't know the Son. They didn't know the Holy Spirit. They didn't know this thing. All right. That's all I got, man. Hey, man. That's we're not saved by works, but by faith, man. Saved by Jesus Christ. Saved us. You're no longer a slave to sin. Child of God. Let's act like one.
We're going to be in Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 11. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea and on dry land. And thou persecutors, thou threwest into the depths, and thou hast a stone unto mighty waters. And in Daniel, it talks about how God delivered Daniel from the lion's den.
Right.
And in here, it's talking about how God delivered Israel through the sea.
Yeah.
Wherever you are now, if you're going through hard times, God can deliver you
right.
From where you are.
Amen.
And in Romans. Wait, no. Sorry, Psalms. Mm-hmm. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, and thou wilt receive me, and thou hast stretched forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and in thy right hand shall save me.
Amen.
God can save you. He still has the power to save people.
Right.
He can still save murderers, the
right.
Worst sinners, the chiefest of sinners.
Amen.
And in Romans, Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in spirit. And if so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you, Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Aren't you glad if you're saved tonight that
Amen.
That the God of heaven dwells in you?
Amen.
God sent his only son to die for us.
Excellent.
Because he loves us that much, because he didn't want us to die and go to hell.
Listen to that.
We don't deserve it, but he did it anyway.
Amen.
He can do anything for us. He can still work miracles in
Excellent.
Our life tonight. That's what I got.
Amen.